IVM.
Hello and welcome to this midweek episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast, brought to you by SEAT Tyres. My name is DJ and I'm going to be hosting this midweek episode. I'm joined as always for these midweek episodes by Ashwin. Ashwin, how are you doing, man? How's everything going?
It's okay, man. It's been an interesting week or so, right? Obviously, IPL has been in full swing. Delhi had a couple of games, which we're going to talk about, which neither of them ended great. Obviously, one got points, one didn't. But it's also obviously just been a really tough week across India as a whole, right? With everything going on with COVID. So I know you both talked about it last week when I wasn't here, but I just wanted to say, everybody who listens to this, just, you know, let's all try to do our part. Stay safe, stay home, get the vaccine when you're eligible, of course. And then if there's anything, obviously, we can do to help, if you, you know, using our social platforms, using this podcast, we're always around. So please reach out to us however you can. We want to make sure we're doing our part to get India, you know, back to a place where we want to be as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and we really would like to do whatever we can to get things back on track. If you can give a little money, if you can give a little help, if you can amplify things on social media, please do go ahead and do that. Every little helps. You never know what can change someone's life, right? So please do whatever you can. IPL, Ashwin, this could almost be a Delhi Capitals special, right? It seems like Delhi Capitals is the only team that's been playing since we last recorded. So if you remember, if you've been following us.
But aren't most of these shows at Delhi Capitals specials? Let's be honest.
We can't openly admit that because we're literally going to lose listeners as we speak.
No, I'm just kidding.
The last episode we were talking, Varun and I, about the first half of the Delhi Capitals game against the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Now, that game, Delhi scored 159 for 4. Varun and I discussed how we were a little bit disappointed by the end to the Delhi Capitals innings. I was pretty excited halfway through the episode when David Warner got run out. We unfortunately couldn't put out the video of that because I goofed and I recorded to the cloud instead of doing a local file. So that was on me. But hopefully you guys will get to see this video. But that game, man, I think it was one man who pretty much single-handedly dragged the Sunrisers Hyderabad to 159 to tie the game. Ashwin, let's talk through some of the talking points from this game, right? I mean, first up, I think we should give credit to Kane Williamson. Didn't play the first few games for the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Comes in and plays a beautiful knock of like 50-odd to take his team to the Super Over, as it turned out. But what a fantastic player this guy is. I mean, quiet, understated, but super effective, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? I don't think you need new hyperbole to describe Kane Williamson. Anybody who's watched any amount of cricket across all three formats, I mean, all three formats, it just knows how brilliant a player he is, right? Just clean striker of the ball. You see people like Warner and Bairstow hitting it so hard. And then you see Williamson come in and bat at, you know, almost as good a strike rate, but just hitting it so like sweetly, timing. He times the ball great. He's just such a smart cricketer, great game awareness, great awareness of where the fielders are. So outstanding cricketer. But more than that, how often have we seen this exact storyline with the Sunrisers over the years where they don't start him? I know Varun said this year it was probably because of an injury, but I don't have the stats in front of me. Every year they've probably not started him. Lost a few games, brought him in, suddenly realized he could be a potential game changer. So just an outstanding player, can bat anywhere in that middle order as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But I want to talk to you a little bit about a few decisions that we made there. I mean, Rabada, right, did not bowl well in this game. Now, tell me what's going on with Kagiso Rabada. And we'll come to the choice of the bowler in the Super Over, but is he struggling a little bit this year? I know he picked up like 25 wickets in 2019. He picked up 30 wickets, I think, last year. So a purple cap holder, if I'm not wrong, last year. But he just looks a little bit off the boil, man. What's up with him?
Yeah, he definitely doesn't seem like the bowler he was, you know, in the past few seasons for Delhi. No question about it. I mean, there's a lot that's going on, right? Obviously, teams are playing at different grounds. There's no home ground cricket, et cetera. So it's a little bit of an adjustment there. B, we know and we've seen a lot of cricketers also react that the bubble and the state of COVID in India and stuff is taking its toll both mentally and physically on cricketers. So that's obviously the second thing. And then C, you almost wonder, we've said this before, but fast bowlers hunt in pairs. And you've said this so many times. You've seen this with Ebrod and Anderson. You see, like, across history, you've seen fast bowlers doing really well in pairs. You almost wonder if for Delhi, Rabada and Nokia had become that pair that fed off each other's energy, that knew what the other was doing, that knew which end the other bowler liked to bowl from. And so while his compatriot, Andrik Nokia, is not getting a game, maybe that's what it is. So I don't have a better hypothesis to what it is. But to have a bowler like Rabada only get three overs and then not even be given the ball for the super over is very telling about what, you know, Pant thinks of him and what Ponting thinks he's going through right now as well.
Yeah, so I mean, last year I would have thought that he would be an absolutely natural pick for the super over. I mean, you've still got that Andre Russell Yorker saved on your phone, right? And he bowled a pretty brilliant over last year. I think Nicholas Pooran had his stump uprooted, and I can't remember, maybe it was KL Rahul who got bowled as well. I think there was a super over last day against the Punjab Kings, which I think he only gave away two runs. And so he kind of seemed to be getting to that Bumrah level at T20. But after a brilliant little cameo, and I think I just want to give some credit to Jay Suchet here. He had a really good and he had a very impactful performance. Now, T20 is made up of games where of overs which matter, right? He bowled four overs for 21 runs. And then he comes in and he plays this little cameo which changes the momentum completely, 14 of 6. And I mean, that changed everything up, right? Like, all the pressure was on Delhi. At one stage, the Sunrisers needed 3 to win off two balls. They eventually got singles of both. Pant kept missing the stumps, which I think really frustrated me, having watched MS Dhoni for years behind the stumps, hit everything or run up and break the stumps in that famous Bangladesh match. But Ashwin, the Sunrisers Hyderabad went first. They brought Kane Williamson in, who looked completely dead. Right. He looked like he couldn't run. He was exhausted. He was dripping with sweat. Akshar Patel to bowl the super over. Talk me through that huge decision by Captain Pant. Huh?
Yeah, look, I'd say Pant's captaincy has come a little bit into question so far, right? Virender Sehwag has already said, I think he said, I give Pant's captaincy 3 marks out of 10 and things like that. So people are questioning Pant's captaincy. He's a new captain. He's young. He's learning. You have to give folks time. He was, you know, not planning for this for the last whole year or two. It happened only because of an injury. Having said that, this was clearly a good move, right? Akshar Patel had picked up 2 for 26, so had been fairly economic. I think the most economical for Delhi that day. The pitch was turning. You had just seen Rashid bowl a pretty good spell. You had seen Suchet bowl a pretty good spell. Like you said, you'd seen Akshar bowl pretty well. Mishra also picked up a wicket. So the logic dictated that it was a smart move, and it paid off. I think he only gave 7 runs in that over, and Delhi was able to chase it down. So good decision in hindsight by skipper Rishabh Pant. I understand why he did it. It obviously, in the macro context, you want to be able to back Rabada and any surface, just given how quality a player he is. But he hasn't been seeing that kind of form.
Yeah, and two reviews in the two super overs, Delhi just about managing to get across the line with some heave-hos, some leg buys. I mean, it was pretty stressful for a Delhi Capitals fan. So it almost felt like we'd won a game that we possibly had lost, right? So felt like you got away with one there. But Delhi went to number 2 on the table with that win, just passing the RCB, but it wasn't for very long, right? I mean, the next game that was played on Monday this week, Ashwin, this was the Punjab Kings versus the Kolkata Knight Riders. Someone on our Discord had a great comment about this, saying in theory, this should actually be the most boring or the worst game of the IPL, with these two teams that seem to be outdoing each other at choking and losing games. But Ashwin, what did you make of this performance, man? The Punjab Kings kind of crawled to 123 for 9. KKR scrapped their way to 126 for 5. I think Varun described one of these games last week as a one-hour meeting that could have been an email. So anything to add to this game?
I mean, I definitely don't have such a solid corporate tip or corporate analogy, but I mean, it was honestly painful, right? It was the first game, I believe, in Ahmedabad. It took KKR from 8th place to exactly where we all predicted they'd finish. They're now sitting pretty in 5th spot. So neither bad enough to be bottom 3, nor strong enough to be top 2, but they got this win, obviously, against the Punjab side. It was honestly just pretty painful to watch, right? Both the Punjab openers scored at less than a run and a ball. Pooran came in, scored at a run a ball. Other than for a little bit of Chris Jordan heroics, like just it's not like a 123 for 9, which is a pure collapse because of brilliant bowling, etc., is a very different game. 123 for 9 because you dawdle your way to that total is just painful to watch. And you know, Tripathi batted pretty well. Morgan finally came good for the KKR, which he desperately needed as the skipper. The team desperately needed him to do. So nice victory for KKR. Good that Morgan came good on his own. Still very concerning signs for both these sides, right? Obviously, Punjab needs to look better across the board. Gail and Huda have each looked good for a game or so. Same with KKR. Gail and Rana have each looked good in bits and pieces, but you can't have your openers and then it's just so inconsistent. Then Narayan's floating around. There's just, I still say, more questions than answers for both Punjab and KKR at this point. So tough sledding from here on.
Yeah, at least Morgan actually managed to make some runs after I pointed out that he hadn't done that last week. So well done to him. Again, Punjab Kings, in my view, just too reliant on the openers, too much pressure on KL Rahul. And there's been a lot of debate, actually, why his place hasn't come up for question now. Ashwin, who would replace him in that lineup if they had to give the captaincy to somebody else? Have they got somebody who could replace KL Rahul, hypothetically?
I'm trying to think about it, right? Like, Mayank is obviously a solid candidate. Chris Gayle, I don't know if he's ever captained T20 side. He's obviously an awesome, important figure in there. And I don't know if Shami has any captaincy chops, but I mean, Arshdeep is too young, right? Some of the other guys, Bishnoi, Jordan, Shahrukh, they don't have Henrik Moses, they don't have their spaces guaranteed in the side. Same with Puran, arguably. So it's really down to Mayank, Gail, or Shami. And I can't see any of them doing a better job captaining than Rahul.
Yeah, and I can't see Mayank taking it from Rahul just because it'll just cause friction for no reason. Gail's too much of a chilled out bloke to do that. And Shami, bowlers frankly just don't get the opportunity to captain in T20 cricket because it moves too quickly, right? It's either wicket keepers or batsmen. So it'll be quite tricky, I think, if they were to change. I don't think they'll change mid-season, but I suspect there may be a change coming up next season. I'd be interested to see if they retain Rahul despite all his success with the bat, right? So, interesting point there. There was that phase where there was 17 for 3, right? And it looked like Punjab had managed to make a game of it. Gail was diving. That was a moment of the game where Gail dived full length, picked it up and hit it direct hit. And then Tripathi was all upset that he'd been run out and then it turned out that he was in. So that was a great moment. I enjoyed that. But otherwise, a pretty, pretty dull game, to be honest. Yeah, and with that, the Kolkata Knight Riders, as you said, went to fifth. And the Punjab Kings slipped down the table again. So not good for their fans. We've got two more games to cover, guys. So this is a nice point at which we can take a SEAT strategic timeout. So we will come back and we will talk about the slightly more painful for us, Delhi Capitals versus RCB game. And the Chennai assault today that took place on the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this year at strategic timeout.
Have you ever wondered where the business world is headed? How the ways in which we create, market and sell to consumers will evolve? Or if we'll ever go back to wearing pants while working? For answers to all of this and more, tune into Advertising is Dead with me, Varun Dugirala. Every Tuesday, as I talk to entrepreneurs, leaders and change makers from across business, media, marketing and beyond. You can catch all episodes of Advertising is Dead on the IBM Podcast website, app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back from that SEAT strategic timeout. And we are still talking on the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast brought to you by SEAT Tires about IPL 2021. That felt like a little bit of a mouthful. But anyway.
It's a lot to say, but you did it pretty well.
Yeah. We're getting good at this stuff. Right. So, Ashwin, this is lovingly called the Discord Derby, right? It's like our Discord is full of RCB fans. And Delhi Capitals fans. It's a very passionate bunch of fans, both teams that have never won the IPL. So it's great when we go up against each other. There's a lot of love for both teams. I mean, obviously, Captain Kohli is from Delhi originally. We love the brand that RCB plays. It may not be successful, but we love the brand of cricket they play. They've got A.B. de Villiers, Maxwell and Kohli, right? And DDP is the guy scoring all the runs, which is just insane. I mean, if you think about it. But
it's pretty successful this year. Let's give them credit for that.
Fair enough. Absolutely. And one of my friends, Maddie, actually, he's actually messaged me seconds after the last ball and said, now you need to talk more about RCB on our podcast. So we're going to do just that. Right. Ashwin, let's talk through this slightly painful memory from Tuesday, right? RCB versus Delhi. Delhi was sitting in second. RCB was sitting in third at the time, right? It was a pretty high voltage clash. It was Pant versus Kohli. There was lots of jokes about Pant asking Kohli whether he's going to be a temporary opener. There was jokes about Kohli saying, not a temporary opener, but we've had a lot of temporary keeper batsmen. What happened in this game, man? Tell us where the Delhi Capitals went wrong and what the RCB did right.
Yeah, look, what RCB did, the simple summary is what the RCB did right is the lower order and AB de Villiers. Period. The Delhi Capitals had AB de Villiers at one point in our history. We let him go. What else are you going to say, man? Like, how this guy comes on and makes... He was 20 of 21 and 75 of 42, right? Like, the ability for him to accelerate. And I'm out of words. Like, there's not much you could say about RCB. Having said that, Delhi did put up a pretty good fight, right? Let's be honest. The openers did okay. I mean, Dhawan didn't do well. Smith just seems to be completely off his game. Hetmyer, who has not yet come good for Delhi, came really good. And so I was just thinking about it. I was like, I don't know what it is, but a one-run loss is much, much, much more painful than even like losing by 40 runs or by 8 wickets or something. I don't know what it is. That one-run loss was really painful. I was able to watch part of it. I then watched highlights later at night and I was heartbroken all over again. It's just, it was so upsetting. And I'd say in large part, this was upsetting because Rishabh Pant has come to become that guy who knows how to get us over the line, right? From Sydney to like, he's just suddenly built himself up, including much of the IPL. He's gotten us over the line or gotten us close enough that somebody else could get over the line. And for us to fall short because he batted at 120 strike rate in an innings where you needed close to 9 runs and over, that's very painful for me. So the fact that we were sitting in that last over saying, oh, if we had only given Hetmyer a strike, when the other guy was Pant, it wasn't a bowler, it wasn't a Rahane or somebody who, it was Rishabh Pant. So that, I think that's what
So, you know, let's go back to the top, right? RCB bat first, score 171 for 5. You mentioned ABD, I mean, brilliant innings. There's 75 or 42 after being a runner ball is just a mad level of acceleration. But Ashwin, the point I want to ask you on this is the choice of the bowler for the last over, right? And Pant addressed it in his press conference saying, we counted the overs really well, whatever that means. I mean, I don't know what that means. You've literally got to count 20 overs, but okay. And Amit Mishra, who's taken 1 for 27 in his 3 overs, didn't bowl his quota. Instead, Marcus Stoinis has bowled his quota, bowled the last over of his quota, gone for 23 runs, Ashwin. 23 runs, which is just mad. And I want to take you back to the game against the SRH as well. And I want to go back to the game against the RR as well. Every time Stoinis has bowled that one over, SRH, it didn't cost us as much, but it cost 12, which was more than the bowler, Kagiso Rabada, whose quota he took, was going at. He was going at 8s, right? This guy's gone at 12. The RR game, he went, I think, for 15 runs, which... Again, he's just pulled that one over. It's almost like Pant has got all these toys and he wants to play all of them with all of them at the same time. Or he's like the nice guy in the colony who's like, "Acha, this guy's come. We have to give him a game. Isko ek over dila do." My issue with Stoinis bowling is fine, but he only bowls when one of your other bowlers has had an off day. When one of your other bowlers has gone for like, I don't know, 16, 17 runs and over. You don't bowl him as an upfront bowler. Remember last year when he came into the Delhi Capitals and kind of made his name? The game that went into the super over, he bowled that super over. But why did he bowl that super over? Because Ashwin had gone down with a shoulder injury. Ashwin dislocated his shoulder. Stoinis completed his quota, right? So why are we bowling Stoinis when you've got Amit Mishra, who's an IPL legend? And I can't see Amit Ji going for... Amit Ji is so Bachchan, but I can't see Mishra Ji going for 23 runs in his last over, man.
Yeah, look, I would say on that one, when you got a guy like AB de Villiers at the crease, I do think you understand the logic to not give a spinner the last over, right? Just that extra split second you get, AB is probably going to possess. So I understand the logic of saying, why didn't you give Mishra the 20th? What I don't understand is why you didn't finish Mishra's quota earlier. So in the 12th over, he went for 11 runs. Yes, he got hit for 1 6 and a few singles. You still could have finished him off in the 13th, 14th, 15th overs before AB de Villiers had started to unleash.
Or you could have brought Stoinis on then to finish off his quota.
What I was going to say is exactly that, is you bring Stoinis in, they were 60 for 3, right? In 9, almost in 8, in the 9th over. That's the point to bring in your part-timer, right? Get a couple overs out of the way while the new guys coming in are settling in. That way you've kept Rabada, Avesh, et cetera, for later in the game. So that, it's a big misstep. No question about it, right? Big misstep. 20 overs is not that hard to count. You have five full-time bowlers and a part-time. I think there's a separate discussion Varun and I were having on Stoinis's year in general. He's just not looking like the player he did last year. He's had bad years in the IPL before. Yeah, last year was honestly a surprise how well he stepped up for Delhi. So this year he seems back to those bad years. Problem is there's no real alternative. And that's what gets scary for Delhi, right? Like, you could bring in a Sam Billings, but you'd absolutely lose the bowling option. So we can spend our episode, as always, always talking about Delhi. But I think Delhi needs to do some serious soul searching on the role of those overseas spots. Shimron Hetmyer has at least brought himself another game. Rabada, I think, has earned enough credibility that you keep playing him. Steve Smith is not at all performing. Not being an anchor, not for scoring fast, just not at all performing. And then with Stoinis also not performing, you have to start wondering, okay, do we strengthen back up our quick bowling by bringing in Nokia to bowl that high 140s into low 150s? Do we then drop Smith, bring in a Rahane type of players who gives us that option for overseas? Do you bring in a Sam Billings instead of a Smith to give you a little more explosive hitting? There's some options. There aren't that many. There's no like-for-like all-rounder for Stoinis. So I fully expect he will continue playing, but you have to figure out his role as a bowler. Either he bowls, he does it earlier, does it when it's easier, or he doesn't bowl. You cannot just bring him on for the 20th over or for just one over again.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. It's super interesting. But as you said, the 60 for 3 was when they went into the CR strategic timeout. Maybe that was the time to bring the new bowler on and change things up a little bit. It's interesting, actually. There's a lot of chat about how wickets fall after a strategic timeout takes place, or how the game, the momentum changes. And we also almost saw that this in the second half of the game, where the Delhi Capitals were 116 for 4, right? Chasing 171, that's a pretty tall order, man. Like, they go into the timeout. Ashwin, what goes on in these SEAT strategic timeouts? What pep talk do people get? Because the game almost seems to change after them, right?
Yeah, so Shimron, let's talk about that second one, right? Shimron Hetmyer was at 18 of 12. Not bad, but nothing great. And the SEAT strategic timeout happens. That's when you see Ricky Ponting off and walk onto the field. You see, in this case, Pant was batting with him. You'll see just a little bit of a discussion, a little bit of an analysis. At that point, they're kind of looking at, okay, what did they need? They needed 14 runs and over at that point, right? So pretty aggressive, not that doable. He started to accelerate. He got one boundary in the previous over, right? So they had obviously talked about, okay, over number 17, just get one at least. At least one boundary, get seven, eight, 9 runs, 10 runs. Over number 18, you got to pick it up a little bit more. And they obviously talked about that accelerating rate over the last four overs. And that's exactly how it happened. They got 10 off that over. Then he came in, Kyle Jameson, because he's bowls quick. And he had that beautiful lefty shots over mid-wicket, which just looked stunning. Made 21, made 11 again. And then obviously we know we just fell short. But that was the discussion probably. It's like, you got to keep ramping up. Don't risk going big in the 17th over and getting out, because you don't have the depth to get 14 runs and over without Hetmyer and Pant.
And that timeout almost gives teams the time to take a step back and assess where they are, right? Like, because Jameson had bowled an over for 5 runs before that CS strategic timeout. And so in the hectic pace of T20 cricket, it gives you those 2 minutes to have a sip of water or whatever energy drink you're up to. And I thought that it's actually fascinating. There's a lot of chat about how wickets fall after a CR strategic timeout takes place. But I'd be more interested in seeing how that acceleration happens. I think last year we saw that with Kishan and Polly against the RCB as well. Now, maybe it's just an RCB thing, but I'd be interested to track this actually through the rest of the IPL. But anyway, Delhi Capitals lost that game by 1 run. We know it was heartbreaking for our boy Pant, as we were so used to seeing him guide India home, guide the Delhi Capitals home. But you can't be upset because it was Siraj that was bowling to him. And I mean, no matter what you do, you love the guy, right? And we tweeted something out saying, if you're feeling down, have a look at this picture from the Gabba where Siraj is kind of hugging Rishabh Pant. So that was a nice moment. It almost brought back all those Gabba emotions all over again. Ashwin, today's game, Wednesday's game, man. The Sunrisers Hyderabad played the CSK. And if the CSK won this, they went to the top of the table. And now that we're recording this in hindsight, Ashwin, tell me, how much money would you have put on the CSK topping the table about halfway into the group stage of the IPL?
I mean, I didn't even have them in my top four, right? So it's pretty safe to say I was not going to make that bet. I think it's pretty safe to say most of us wouldn't have made that bet. Let's remember, even you had them in your top four against your better logic, where you just said, yeah, I mean, I just want them to do well and I want to cheer for Tala. That's why I'm putting them in my top four. So
let's talk about that for a second. Tala, what is he doing in this team? Is he a specialist captain, wicketkeeper?
Pretty much, right?
What is he doing?
He bats when it's a convenient, like he promotes himself up the order when it's convenient once in a while, just to face a few balls, to look good, to give you people like you a glimpse of his old self, and then he doesn't bat.
It was upsetting because we were getting Tala Pant comments, man. Like Pant had taken too much of a leaf out of his predecessor's book and was batting too slowly and stuff.
I mean, I don't want to derail, but I sent this message to you guys. I do want to look at what is going on with captains and their strike rates this tournament, right? Because I haven't looked at the numbers. If somebody is better with stats or numbers than me that listens to the show, please, like, let's take a look at it. But Rahul is not striking fast enough. Pant now, at least in this last innings, not striking fast enough.
No sixes.
No sixes. Couldn't get a single six. Morgan has slowed down his game a fair bit, right? Who else am I thinking about? Dhoni, of course, is always pretty much bats pretty slowly. Warner had a rough game. We're going to talk about this one now, but wasn't striking the ball well. And so it's really just Samson who, when he has done well, has probably will show a really strong striker.
When he bats for five balls. And
but when he does, when he did get that century, it was a great.
18 of five.
Yeah, so gone. His strike rate will look good as you crunch the numbers. But it's fascinating to me. I would love to just understand. But sorry, let's talk about this game.
Yeah, this game, 171 for three. The Sunrisers Hyderabad batted for the first time. They set a target for the first time this IPL. Seemed like a pretty good target, actually, to be honest. And on a Delhi pitch, 171 for three. David Warner got 50. Manish Pandey got 60. Let's talk about Manish Pandey, one of your favorite players. Warner briefly alluded to him by name in the press conference post the Delhi loss. Pretty big move from a IPL captain saying he was not given the team that he wanted.
I think I must have missed that actually. So Warner said he wanted to play Pandey and didn't get to play him?
Well, he kind of alluded to it because there was the other kid who, Virat Singh, right, who got four of 12. So it was kind of like he's a good player, but you know, we have Pandey sort of thing. And poor Virat, but it was pretty bleak comment to make when you've left Manish Pandey out. So, and the next game, Manish Pandey comes back in, right? So,
yeah. So, first game back in, needed to perform. Your captain's batting on the other end at a run of ball. He made 57 off 55. I mean, look, I am a big fan of Manish, the ODI player. I do think he has left a little bit to be desired as a T20 player. Let's be honest. But 61 off 46, just a great knock today. Obviously, Sunrisers ended up falling short, but a great knock by him at three when you've lost an early wicket, relatively early wicket of Bairstow in the power play. To come in anchor to get 61 off 46, you could argue maybe when your partner's struggling, maybe he should have farmed more strike, maybe he should have tried to hit a little bit faster. But, you know, if Hyderabad fell short on runs, it's because Warner batted at a run of ball, not because of Pandey. Very excited to see Pandey do well. I think both Pandey at three and Jadhav at five, very different look and feel of the side than Virat Singh, Abhishek Sharma and Abdul Samad, right? No disrespect to any of them, but just the experience you get with Pandey and Jadhav just suddenly makes us look like a much more robust side, at least on paper.
And did they miss a trick not batting Kane at three after that great innings against the Delhi Capitals? And 26 of 10 today, 260 strike rate. He can do anything.
Yeah.
He's magical.
I agree. I think Kane is fine for me at four, especially when a wicket falls that early. So I think Manish played, again, I'd say Warner's was the shortage today, batting at a run a ball for almost half the innings, right? 55 out of 120 balls to be a run a ball is where you fell short. I think Pandey at one down was absolutely fine. Williamson at two down at four works great for them as well. I think the missed trick was Warner knowing you have Williamson, Jadhav, Shankar to come in next. He probably should have started accelerating and risked getting out sooner than he did.
Absolutely. And even Rashid Khan, when he came on with the ball, could not prevent the CSK from kind of cruising to victory, man. 173 for three in the 19th over. Ruturaj Gaikwad got 75. Faf got 56. Moin Ali had a little bit of a hit. Jadeja, who had a great weekend, 7 of 6. Suresh Raina, I mean, why does this look like a different team from 2020, man? Just tell me what's happened.
They're just all coming good, right? I think Gaikwad is an interesting example of who had three bad matches. They continued to back him and then he did come good. So great. Faf has always been fairly consistent, you know, some good innings, some not. Doesn't hit super aggressive from a striker standpoint, but Faf's always been pretty consistent. I think Moin has definitely helped the balance of the side a little because with Moin, Jadeja and Karan, you've now got three lefties essentially who can flex up the up and down the order. Yeah, it just looks different. They're all talented players. They were last year too. They just didn't come good, and suddenly the strategy looks like it's fallen apart. When each of them starts to come good, I mean, they made a 171-run chase look easy. They finished it with 9 balls to spare, which honestly was too few. They could have done it much quicker and gotten their run rate, net run rate, even more accelerated. But I mean, they're sitting at a net run rate.
They're at 1.475.
After 6 matches, it's unreal because
they are well clear of the RCB, who's tied with them on 10 points. It's insane. After all the net run rate jokes last year, there is only one man sitting and laughing at this, and that's
There's only one team they've lost to.
And who is that?
That's the Delhi Capitals, my friend.
That is all we care about. That is all that matters. Clearly, clearly. And there you have it, guys. That is the midweek episode for IPL 2021, week 3. Guys, this is your last chance to enter the hashtag Bat with Siat contest for April. Literally, the contest will end on the 30th of April. So please write in with your answer to the following question. Who is the player to have taken the most number of wickets while being an uncapped player? It is an uncapped player who has taken the most number of wickets. The player has never played for India or for any other team. Who has taken the most number of IPL wickets as an uncapped player? Write in with that on Twitter at OneTipOneHand. We are on contact@OneTipOneHand.com. If you want to email us, we are on Facebook and Instagram at OneTipOneHand. And leave us a review and a rating. And we will be back on Monday. Ashwin, what's up?
I do feel like I just want to really quickly give a fantasy shout out because a couple of the guys on our Discord have made sure they're doing well. So let's give them a quick Edges and Sledges Fantasy League shout out. In number one is the team called Kumar Catch Packards with 8,199.5 points.
That's Sumit.
Now they only
That's
have 41 Sumit's transfers team. Left. That's yeah. Sumit. Yeah. Number two is still Whistle Port Umari. Number three is still Johnny Blazers. I'm sitting.
Where's Nattu Bhai 11
pretty,
gone?
Nattu Bhai 11's number four, which is also pretty good.
Love it.
Number four. I'm sitting at pretty at number 39.
That's good. That's
Not
good.
Bad.
I forgot to change my team today, but I had Rashid Khan captain who took 3 wickets. So I left Rashid Khan captain knowing that I'm going to forget. And I didn't have a vice captain or anybody else playing today.
You still did okay.
But I mean, yeah. Decent.
But you're sitting down there at number 80.
That's okay. It's still in the league, unlike... Where is Varun?
So the Fad League only shows you the top 100. And I scrolled all the way down and I just see him sitting at number 100. I was about to say, wait, did he not join? Where is he? I couldn't find... No, he's there. He's at number 100. Last on my list right now. He has time to come back. Plenty of time to come back. But he actually had Faf captain today who did well.
That's
but
good.
The last couple of days have not been kind to him. But plenty of time to come back.
Dude, so I have too many transfers. I need to start using up some of these transfers. So if you've got transfers left, guys, use them up. Because you can't carry them to the playoff stage. Anyway, I was wrapping the show before we went into fantasy. But that is the show. As always, guys, this is the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast brought to you by Seat Tyres. Stay safe, stay home, and drive safe. Cheers, guys.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On What the Hell Navya, Jaya Bachchan, Shweta Nandan, and Navya herself dish out stories from their childhood. They discuss tough love between parents and their kids. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Baman Irani, President-elect Credai, and Chairman and MD at Rustamji. They discuss the concept of buy versus rent and how to approach buying property in 2022. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus is joined by Meghnath and comedian Shahid Shafi. They discuss their opinions on the ongoing Congress presidential elections and Prashant Kishore embarking on a padyatra. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina narrates a story that advocates that stress and emotions are not to be controlled but must be beautifully managed. And on the Filter Coffee podcast, Karthik is joined by Yashraj Akashi, Senior Ambassador of the TEDx program and Curator of TEDx Gateway. They discuss the origin story of TED and his franchise model. Guys, go to our website, ivmpodcast.com. You can check out the merch store. Also, links to all of our social media stuff, which is at IVM Podcast. Also, do check out our YouTube channels. We have a number of channels with many of your favorite shows available as full video podcasts. Finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms, and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Working Monday to Friday glued to your chair making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.